Well, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word. Join me once again in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20, as we continue walking our way through this series on the Ten Commandments. We find ourselves this morning at commandment number 9, and as we prepare to do that, I've shared with you before that I used to spend a decent amount of time at my grandparents' house. One of the things you need to know about my grandfather is that he didn't always tell the truth. I don't know if you're a grandpa like that, but that was the way he was. And it wasn't ever in a way with malice or anything like that. He would just simply not give me all the information I needed to know. And so I went to visit one time, and he had a pecan grove. It's not pecan, it's pecan. Pecan Grove, and one of the things when I would go is I always would carry out limbs to the burn pile. And he said one morning, he said, listen, there's a limb that has fallen, and here's the thing, it has a hive of bees in that limb, massive limb. And he said, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to go rob the beehive. We're going to get the honey out of it. If you've never had honey out of a beehive, there's nothing like it in all the world. And in my mind, I'm not the smartest person, but I'm thinking bees probably are not going to like that. And so I asked him, I said, so what are we going to do about the bees? And he said, well, listen, what we're going to do is we're going to smoke them. So we're going to get a Kroger sack. We're going to light it on fire. We're going to put it right there. It's going to calm them down, and we're going to be able to get the honey. I'm thinking that's not going to work. And he said, so here's what we're going to do. So we go, we begin to work on it, and he hands me an axe. And he says, I want you, the hive's right here, I want you to chop on the other side of it. And I'm thinking, that's dumb. Because those bees are going to sting me. And he said, no, don't, Michael, don't worry about it at all. They are going to be calm. Church, my granddad lied to me. First time the axe came down, they scattered. I'm covered in bees. And at that point, I looked at him and I said, you have lied to me. Do you remember the first time you told a lie? Think about that as we prepare to dive into God's Word this morning. I want to begin reading Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, going down through verse 21, and we'll walk back through it together this morning. This is God's Word. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our eyes, that we would be able to see, that you would open our ears, that we would be able to hear, and that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. As we dive into the message this morning, I want you to write down this main idea. It will frame our time together as we consider the ninth commandment this morning. It's this truth: we worship a God of truth. And this should encourage us to be truth tellers. We should, as followers of Jesus, tell the truth because we worship a God of truth. This morning, as we continue walking our way through this series, you may be new to North River and may be wondering, why are we walking through this series at all? Why the Ten Commandments? What's the value of us walking through these commandments week by week? And here's what we've said each week as we've come to these messages together. The Ten Commandments serve a important purpose in the life of believers. First and foremost, remember that the Ten Commandments reveal the character of God. The Ten Commandments show us what God is like, that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is perfect. They show us His standard for everyone. Which leads us to number two: the Ten Commandments expose our sinfulness. We see God's standard, and it reminds us that we do not measure up to the standard that God has set. Paul says that the commandments function like a mirror in our lives. They show us our sinfulness, but they can do nothing to save us from our sin. Which leads us to number three: the Ten Commandments should drive us to Jesus. They should help us recognize and see that it is Jesus and Him alone, the very Son of God, who stepped foot out of heaven and came to this earth, the only one who was able to keep these commandments perfectly. And here's the good news: He went to the cross on our behalf to lay His life down for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be brought into the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And that leads us to number four: the Ten Commandments for the believer, for the person who has trusted in Jesus as their Savior, should be a guide for us to pursue righteousness. So as we seek to live out the Christian life, the Ten Commandments give us a template of what it looks like to love God and to love people. And so for us, as we seek to live out the truth of God's word as followers of Jesus, the good news is the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us and enables us to pursue lives of righteousness that are marked by loving God and loving people. With that reminder, let's look this morning at the ninth commandment. Let's look at it in its immediate context here in Exodus chapter 20. Let's talk about what's going on here for the children of Israel and understand why this commandment that we see in verse 16 is so vital for them and why it's important for us as we continue moving through this morning. Each of these commands, as we've said each week, is tied to verse 2 of Exodus chapter 20. Where God reminds His people of who He is, my identity. God reminds His people that He has a relationship with them. God reminds His people that He has delivered them from slavery in Egypt. And with that as the foundation, the Lord issues this command to His people: you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not bear false witness. Let's ask the question, what does false witness mean? You may want to underline that in your copy of God's Word or in your notes. And it's very clearly someone who testifies falsely against anyone that's accused of a crime. So a false witness is someone who says something that is false about someone who has committed a crime. Now think about it. Why is this so important at this point in time? Well, if you pay attention to anything legally speaking in the world today, one of the things that we see going on is that people, as crimes are committed, oftentimes they are filmed by video, or there's some type of physical evidence that is used to link someone to a crime that's been committed. It may be DNA, it may be other types of evidence that are used, and so that evidence is used to bring to bear on someone who's committed a crime to say, yes, this person committed the crime. Well, here's the thing. That wasn't available oftentimes here. In fact, DNA, nobody even knew that that's what it was. People didn't have the technology that we have today to be able to discern whether or not this evidence is tied to a particular person. And so the Lord, remember, is preparing his people to go into the promised land. And one of the keys we have to understand is that for a society to function, the legal system has to function well. Which means if someone is accused of a crime, then we have to know that the person who's going to be accused of the crime, there are witnesses who can come forward and say for certainty, yes, this person committed the crime. Because there's no video evidence, there's no DNA evidence, there's nothing like that at this point. And so the Lord for his people says to them, I want you to tell the truth when it comes to your neighbor about whether or not they have committed a crime. Do not lie. And you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, if you remember, as we've been walking through the Ten Commandments, oftentimes the punishment for violating one of these commandments is what, church? Death. Let's be honest. If your life is on the line, don't you want witnesses to tell the truth? Well, of course you do. And that's exactly what the Lord says to his people. If someone's life is on the line, you must tell the truth. So as we think about that, let's take this command. Let's turn it in a positive light. The Lord is saying to his people, honor me. Honor the God of truth by being a truth teller. Now, certainly, as we think about bearing false witness when it comes to a crime, we know that it applies there. But what we're going to see is that as we continue to move through Scripture, that this command not to bear false witness against a neighbor is expanded so that we understand that it is more than just testifying in the midst of a crime being committed. It actually goes to the very heart of lying, of telling the truth or not. And so let's look as we begin to walk through Scripture this morning. Let's zoom out together and let's look at all of Scripture and this command. First, let's ask this question. What is the foundation? As the Lord gives this command to his people, what is the foundation that undergirds this command that you're not to bear false witness, that you're not to lie? What is the foundation? Well, you'll see a number of verses that are listed here on the screen for you this morning. Romans chapter 3, John 14 and 17, Hebrews chapter 6, John chapter 8. In each of these places, it's very evident that both the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God's Word says that they are true, that there is no lie in them. In fact, the very essence of truth is found in the character of God. God does not lie. God always tells the truth. In fact, we see that Paul says, let every man be a liar, but God is true. In fact, Jesus says about himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus says about the Holy Spirit that he is the Spirit of truth. In fact, when we look, we realize that truth finds its essence in the character of God. But not only that, Jesus says about Satan in John chapter 8, verse 44, the very opposite of him. In fact, Jesus says about Satan, he is the father of lies. So notice this contrast, this foundation that undergirds this command is that God is a God of truth, and to lie is in fact to follow Satan and his ways because he is the father of lies. So with that as the foundation, let's ask this next question. How does this command function? So as you look through Scripture, how do we understand what's going on with this command that you are not to bear false witness, you're not to lie? Well, first and foremost, the foundation as we look at this with God being a God of truth begins in the courtroom as we look at false testimony. In fact, you'll see a number of passages of Scripture here that come up for you. What you realize is that the Lord actually says to his people that it takes two eyewitnesses to accuse someone of a crime that would lead to death. This would have been the standard that God has set for his people, Israel, that it wasn't okay just for one witness to come and to accuse someone of a crime, that it actually took two that would come. Their stories would have to agree. They would have to accuse someone of a crime, and that's what it took to follow through with the death penalty in Israel. We see that play out in Numbers 35, Deuteronomy chapter 1. In fact, you see also a couple of points in the Old Testament where there are those that would come and lie in order to kill someone else. And the Lord calls that out, says that is sin for them to bear false testimony in that situation. Move into the New Testament in 1 Timothy chapter 5, we see that God says in his word that it takes two to come forward and to accuse an elder or a pastor of some impropriety, that it's not just one person coming forward. The Lord sets that standard that it is multiple that are coming forward in a situation like that. You say, okay, well, that makes sense, but as you continue to move through Scripture, what you realize is that the Lord continues to zoom out on this issue. In fact, think about embellishing or being deceptive. Now, here's where things begin to get interesting, right? We think about just outright telling a lie in a courtroom, right? Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But let me ask you this. Do you and do I embellish things? Do we tell a little bit more than is actually true? Because the Lord says here that that is a lie as well. That would be breaking the ninth commandment as well. How big was that fish you caught? Was it this big? Or was it this big? Right? Did you really hit a hole in one? How many times did you tee off that day, right? I mean, think about this. What about deception? You may think that's kind of a sophisticated thing. You know, you don't have to tell the whole truth. You just tell a little bit of it. But your intent in that is actually to deceive someone else. And once again, the Lord says about that, that is lying to someone. Now, where's the situation where deception is maybe okay in that? You look at the context of war, and you realize that you're not going to publicize to your enemy in war, if it's a just war, what you're going to do, right? Imagine if the D-Day attack was broadcast on the front end. Hey, we just want to let you know, we're going to land on Normandy Beach on this day, this time. Just prepare you ahead. We don't want to be deceptive. Well, of course not. But let me ask you, are you deceptive in the way that you interact and talk with others? In fact, we see in a number of passages of Scripture, the Lord point out that to embellish or to deceive would be characterized as lying and breaking the ninth commandment. We see that take place in Acts chapter 5, probably one of the most severe stories we see in Scripture, with Ananias and Sapphira, who sell a piece of property, and they come and bring the money to the church, and they say, they lie about the fact that they say, it is all that we received from what we sold. And what we find out is they actually kept some. And the Lord's not concerned that they kept some. The Lord's concerned that they actually lied about it. And what's crazy is that Ananias, the husband, drops dead first. And then right after that, his wife comes in and she also drops dead because she lies. And what's amazing is the text says, and the church was filled with fear. Well, if people start dropping dead at the offering time, that's what happens, right? But again, the Lord in his word is very clear about this issue of lying. Let's push it a little bit further. What about gossip and slander? Because that also would fall underneath this ninth command as well. To gossip about someone, to say things about someone, you say, hang on, but what if it's true? What if what I'm saying is true? Just ask yourself the question, is it helpful? Is it building that person up? Because even though it may be true, unless you are going to them face to face to have the conversation, you are bearing false witness about them to go and to talk with someone else about that person. Matthew chapter 18 says very clearly, you're to go to talk to them. That's how you're to handle situations like that. To slander someone, to speak ill of them to someone else without being willing to go and have a conversation with that person. Once again, the Lord says in his word that falls under this ninth command. Also, what would fall under that command would be false judgment, where you find out a piece of information, and this is where Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17 comes in to play in this situation. The first person who comes to speak seems right until his second person comes in to question the story that's being told. And so you may receive some information, and you may, in that information, jump to a quick judgment about someone or something, and yet you don't know all the information. Which, let me just encourage you. Do not respond to news events as soon as you hear them. You say, why? Because 99.9% of the time, you don't have all the information. If an event takes place and you don't have all the information, you know what the best thing to do is? Keep your mouth shut. You don't have to be a commentator on everything that's going on. Seek to understand before you make a judgment about someone, because to make a false judgment is to bear false witness ultimately against that person or that situation. So you may ask the question, well, is it ever okay to lie? Is it ever okay not to tell the truth? Maybe for you, you're thinking in your mind as you read through Scripture, there are passages of Scripture, especially as you look at the book of Exodus and then you look at the book of Joshua, you think about the Hebrew midwives there in the book of Exodus who lied to Pharaoh and his cohort about the Hebrew children that were being born. You look forward to Rahab. Remember, it's Rahab that lies about the fact that the spies came and visited her. Ultimately, the Lord rewards her for this. And so you look and say, well, is it ever okay to lie? And here's the thing. Here's my caution to you. We as people are so tempted to justify our lies that if we're not careful, we will continue lying and seek to justify ourselves in that moment. Are there certain passages of Scripture, certain contexts where people seek to obey the Lord and in doing that they are lying to authorities that may be? And the answer is yes, there are those situations. Here's the thing, 99.9% of the time you're not going to be in that situation. So tell the truth. Be honest. Let's ask this next question. What about the heart? Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. This is critical, I believe, for us as followers of Jesus seeking to be truth tellers. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just and pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. Notice what he says about that. Think on these things. Dwell on the things as a follower of Jesus that are true. Because the reality is, that is what will seep down into your heart. And God's word tells us that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, speak the truth, watch this, in love. So dwell on those things that are true. How do you become a truth teller as a follower of Jesus? One incredible way is to dwell on things that are true. Let what your heart and mind saturate in be truth. And then speak the truth in love. See, here's the problem oftentimes for us as followers of Jesus. We err on one of those sides. We will speak the truth, but we don't do it in love. And you know what you call that? Being a jerk. Just being honest. That's what you call that. But here's the flip side of that. If you only demonstrate love without speaking the truth, then the person that you're interacting with is not going to be confronted with the truth of what God's word says. And so for us, the heart that we should have towards people is that we are marinating in the truth of God's word, and then we communicate that truth in love. You may ask, well, what is the danger of not being truthful? And you'll see there in Proverbs 6, James 3, Revelation 21, that God takes very seriously this idea of his people being truth tellers. Because to consistently, habitually lie, God says, you are not one of his children, if that's the case. In the same way of any other sin. Revelation 21:8 is very clear that at the last judgment will be those who are, among other sins, liars. And so for us as followers of Jesus, what should be marked in our lives is that we are truth tellers. And what's the good news? You know, it's interesting, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says that we are to be his witnesses. I don't think this is by accident. Think about this. As a follower of Jesus who is committed to telling the truth, Jesus has said about us, we are to be his witnesses. That is, we are to be truth tellers for him in this world in which we live. And what is the primary message that we are to communicate to this world? It is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of what Christ has done. That is the joy that you and I have as followers of Jesus in a world filled with lies, with an enemy who is seeking to steal and kill and destroy. We have the ability to go into this world as followers of Jesus and be truth witnesses of who Jesus is and what he's done. Let's zoom out. Let's ask a very simple question. How do we understand this command in our lives today? Well, here's what I hope you will do. If you are a follower of Jesus this morning, commit to being a truth teller in every situation. regardless of the situation that you find yourself in. Tell the truth. One of the things we tell our girls so often, you can tell us anything. You know what will set me off quicker than anything else? If you lie to me. Don't lie. We can deal with the truth. We can sort through that. We can walk through that. But don't lie. Just be truthful. And for us as followers of Jesus, could we adopt that mentality, that mindset, that we will, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in, tell the truth? Here's some questions for us to consider as we think about being truth tellers in our lives as followers of Jesus. Here's question number one. Do I believe the truth matters? Think about that in your life. Does the truth matter? And here's the follow-up question to that. Why is it important for followers of Jesus to be a people committed to the truth? Here's question number two. Reflect on this. Is there a form of lying that I am quick to justify? Think about that in your own life. Is there some type of lying that you're quick to justify? Quick to say, it's not that big of a deal. Well, it's just a little white lie. Or it's almost the truth. Here's the follow-up to that. What lies am I tempted to tell myself or others? What lies are you tempted to tell yourself or to tell others? Question number three. Am I quick to embellish, deceive, gossip, or slander? Maybe as you hear that question, there are situations, there are events, even in this past week, that are coming up in your mind. Situation where you were embellishing a story, embellishing a situation, or where you were deceiving maybe your spouse or your coworker or your employer, or maybe you were around the water cooler at the office gossiping about someone or about some situation. Or maybe you were slandering, you were talking ill of someone or some situation. What is the danger of each of these in my life, in the life of others? What is the danger to embellish, to deceive, to gossip, to slander? Here's question number four. What is one practical way I can commit to being a truth teller this week? Maybe you are wrestling through right now a situation you know is coming up in this week, and you are tempted right now to think about a way that you could embellish or change the tune of what you're about to say and not be truthful. And can I encourage you, take this opportunity before the Lord as a follower of Jesus to commit to being a truth teller this week. Would you bow your heads with me this morning as our worship team comes back up and as we close out our service singing together? Maybe for you today, you come in not yet a follower of Jesus. And I want you to hear the truth this morning that God loves you enough that He sent His Son Jesus to this earth to live a sinless, perfect life on your behalf, to take your sin upon Himself on the cross, to pay the debt that you owed. He died, was buried, and rose again on the third day, securing salvation for you if you would repent, God's Word tells us, from your sin and turn and trust in Jesus as your Savior. Believe this morning that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We'd love to help you take that step if that's a step that you need to take. Maybe you're already a follower of Jesus, but if you were honest before the Lord this morning, as the Holy Spirit of God searches your heart, you are not a truth teller. There's areas in your life, as you think about, that you embellish or seek to deceive or don't tell the truth. And this is an opportunity for you to confess that sin to the Lord, to renew that commitment through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be a person who tells the truth in love, reflecting the character of God, who is a God of truth. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you are a God who is true, who never lies. God, may we as your people, as followers of Jesus, be a people that tell the truth, that reflect the reality of who you are in this world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, join us as we sing? Our pastors are down front, our altar's open this morning.